First You Think is a not-for-profit ministry of the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. Support us at ucdsm.org today. So lamentation is a lot of things, but what it is most is refusal to give in to despair. When all other options are gone, when your life is the worst it can be, you still have the agency to lament. And the word has been given short shrift lately in our modern American culture. You'll see it in books. Oh, they were out of donuts, she lamented. How sad, he lamented. I just washed my car. You'll see it in that sense, meaning something was sad or said sadly. And that is a legitimate use of the word, but it's not the use we're talking about today. Today we're talking about a theological construct. They're related. A lament is very different from a request or a complaint. A request asks somebody for a thing with an expectation of being told yes or no. You may get told to get lost, but you've asked somebody for the thing. Can I have your coffee? No, go away. Okay. That's a request. A complaint is a critique or a dissatisfaction. I don't like the way you're drinking that coffee. Well, go pound sand. Okay, great. I'm leaving. That's a complaint. I don't like. You messed up my coffee. I want a new one. You're still talking to one person and telling them about something that is specifically wrong. This coffee is not to my satisfaction. Both complaints and requests imply that the person being told has some kind of specific ability to fix the situation. While I like Adrian very much, hi Adrian, I'm picking on you today, I would not walk up to him and go, Adrian, my coffee from Starbucks this morning was terrible. Okay. Can I help you with that somehow? Well, the answer is no. There's nothing he could do about my experience with Starbucks. I can't complain to him. I can't make any request that is reasonable of him. But I can lament. A lament is different. In many ways, it's a statement that whoever I'm telling isn't going to do anything. I can't do anything right this minute. But I'm hurt. If I lament to Adrian about my coffee, maybe it's my last dollar. Maybe that was the only cup I could have this week, and it was wrecked. I'm not expecting him to fix it. I don't want his money. I don't want him to drive to Starbucks or yell at the barista. What I want in that minute is for him to see my pain, not to judge it, not to decide if it's real or unreal or should be or shouldn't be. When I lament, I take agency where I have none. And I say to the world, listen, I'm hurt. We have just gone through some really rough years. As our one reading said, people were out of jobs, COVID. Now the Ukraine, there are times the world just hurts. And all you want is for somebody to comfort you. Paradoxically, lament is one of the ways you do that. In 1917, Gershom Scholem, who's a Kabbalistic scholar, he wrote about lamentation and language. Now, I can tell you right now, I read what he wrote. I read it in translation. The original's in German. I have a master's degree. It took me 3.5 weeks. I'm still not sure I understand every bit of it. But what I could get and what I could glean from what this brilliant person wrote was amazing. Bernard Witte, who's a scholar of Scholem's work, writes, in the context of his epilogue on Lament and Lamentation, Scholem writes, silence is the origin of language, the language of lament. The language of lament for Scholem is the equivalent of this paradoxical phenomenon. From his work on the translation of Hebrew, specifically Hebrew dirges, into German, he concludes that in lament, language annihilates itself. It turns into silence. He defines lament in brief as lament is language disappearing. If you think about that for a minute, we're back to that three-year-old just standing there sobbing, holding their knee and screaming, it hurts. It's beyond language. We understand the hurt by seeing their face and their body. The words are immaterial. They help us to understand the specifics. This definition, as he writes it, is only understandable if one sees in language an unending continuum that reaches from revelation, in which language reveals itself as absolutely positive, to the negative pole of silence, at which point language becomes nothing. On this continuum, lament marks the border at which human language becomes silence. Lament is nothing other than a language on the border, language of the border. As a borderline phenomenon, lament still participates in human language, but at the same time, it causes language's annihilation. Lament has a form, but it has no content. The entire content is not about the spoken words. They give form to the emotion that you're feeling. You could lament in gibberish. While true lament has words, it is beyond words. It is putting pure pain and pure grief out into the world so that you can let them go. When something is too raw, too hurtful for words, you lament. Unitarian Universalism doesn't really have a formal tradition of lamenting. Lamenting is found in Judaism and Christianity and Islam, but we don't typically teach it. Why? Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons, and among them are the fact that UUs tend to skew college-educated, humanist, atheist, Buddhist. So it isn't a tradition that we come out of in general. But sometimes words fail us. When you think about when you've been hurt the worst in your life, were you able to sit there and calmly articulate it over coffee? Sometimes there's nothing to ask for, and sometimes there's nothing you can complain about that anyone could do anything about. But the spoken words of a lament help to create a paradoxical silence, a calming in the middle of that raw emotion. You know, last week I mentioned the song Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, the Crosby, Stills, and Nash song. The one line that I didn't mention was one that followed the quote I used, and this is, sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud. Sometimes the only thing you can do is to ask for the universe or a god or a goddess or your community to witness your pain. It's the ultimate in anti-gaslighting. Have you ever really hurt and thought, maybe I'm really not hurt this bad? I mean, admittedly, it feels this bad, but maybe it shouldn't. Maybe I'm whiny. Maybe I'm taking it too hard. You're gaslighting yourself. Lament says you are real. It makes your pain something that you own, that you're entitled to speak about. So how does a lament work? Can you just scream or cry? Well, sure. The most formal form of lament as a theological concept has a few parts to it. So if you're putting this down on paper, there's kind of a system to it. First, it's common to address someone or something larger than yourself. Who are you lamenting to? If you're an atheist or a humanist, it might be your community, your church community, the universe. Doesn't have to be. It could literally be, I am lamenting to this rock over here. Who am I telling? And I would suggest that your community is your best bet. This is like a 12-step program where certain steps require you to speak to another person. So to lament, you tell someone. If a deity doesn't suit you, don't use one. You address the lament to something that will witness your pain, that will make you feel like you're not being gaslit, that it's real and it's true and it's happening to you and you don't deserve it. Second part is you speak truth about why you are addressing this deity or this community. You enumerate some of the reasons why you trust it to hear your pain. Whatever you are addressing shouldn't do you harm. So when you pick where you're addressing your lament, make sure it's somewhere you trust. Third, you get to state the actual complaint. For any of you who were Seinfeld watchers and are familiar with Festivus, this is the airing of the grievances. You articulate the hurt, the harm, even if it's small, even if it's you took my chocolate bar and you knew I was saving that for a special treat when I got home and now I want to cry. Doesn't matter. We as a society get told that we're supposed to say, it's okay, no problem. Well, maybe you've had a bad year and it is a problem. We see in the news people that stab each other over pork chops. Now, I'm not suggesting we do that. But maybe it really hurt and you really looked forward to that dinner all day and now you can't have it and it's just one drop too many in your bucket. Sometimes we aren't fine, and lament lets us say that. Fourth comes the wonderful part. You get to tell the god or goddess or deity or community that you are talking to, either I did nothing to deserve this. The world stinks right now. It's not fair. I didn't deserve it. Or, more interestingly, I absolutely deserved everything that has just landed on my head. I made the world's worst decisions, did the world's dumbest stunt, and this hurts. This really, really, really hurts. This piece lets you reclaim your community, even when you've done something wrong. That's amazing. You still get to say, I am hurt. Even if you're the bad guy in this situation. Fifth is a simple request for any help that the universe or the deity or a community wants to give you. Now, it's not addressed to any one person, not a request of a person. You're just putting it out there. I screwed up and spent all my money gambling. Now I lost my house and I'm tired and I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. I need food. Someone send me groceries. Perfectly suitable lament. Sixth is a fun one. It's any response you've actually gotten from the deity. This one is often omitted. Many people leave it out because either God or the goddess or their community has not responded yet, or they don't believe a response is going to happen, though it may. But if something is already going well, this is where you say it. And seventh is a vow to praise or support or trust whoever you're speaking lament to. So what would an atheist lament look like? Well, it looks like this. Beloved friends, it's me. I need you to listen to me. I've been a member of this church for 42 years, and you've always been here for me. My life is a mess right now. My dog is sick, and I broke my legs. My kids stole my car. I haven't done a thing to deserve any of this. Well, though I didn't call the police when I could have. But I need support and love and comfort right now, and I need help with my bills. I don't know what else to do. I know you were all there for me last year when I broke my arm, and you've always been there when I needed you. I love my community, and I'm going to keep telling people how great it is, and I know you will all be there for me, just like I'll be there for you. That's a perfectly good lament. Reclaiming your right to lament is especially meaningful right now when the world is tough. It's okay to be tired and scared and need help and need your pain to be seen and vindicated. As members of community, we're called to validate one another when they call on us, to witness them. It's not our job to fix it. Most of the time we can't. Lamentation just asks, see me, validate that I'm hurt. Echo that back to me, that someone sees that I'm wounded right now. Lamentations can be spoken or they can be written. They can be put on video. They can be done as prayer or as loud screaming. According to writer Linda Austin, many of the oldest and most lasting poems in human history are laments. The lament for Sumer and Ur dates back 4,000 years. Lamenting is available to everyone. So the next time life doesn't feel good, consider reclaiming the lament. Write it down or shout it out. Stand up and recite it for your community of support. Ask your small group to listen to it. Join a 4,000-year-old multi-faith tradition which does not suffer silence alone. It lets pain be shared in community, because your pain never has to be invisible. Your community is always there for you. Amen.